Right. Tape two, side four, continuing our interview with Dr. Paul Kaplan at his home on Sunday, July 7th, 1998. Dr. Kaplan, we haven't talked very much at all about the children and the grandchildren. Will you tell us about them, please?
Yes. I have two daughters. We have two daughters. Donna, the older, who is now 51, I believe. And my younger daughter, Roberta, who is now 46, I believe. Donna is a graduate of the University of Wisconsin. She, during her high school years, she was in the retail training program at Joseph Horn's, and she continued after her marriage in retailing. She obtained MBA following her children's near adulthood. She's now executive director of the synagogue where she lives in Woodbridge, Connecticut. She had been previously assistant executive director at the Jewish Community Center in New Haven. She is married to a physician and ophthalmologist and lives in Woodbridge, Connecticut. He practices in a group in Waterbury, Connecticut.
His name?
Stanley Hersh. H-E-R-S-H.
But a little
H-E-R-S-H. Stanley Hersh. There are three sons by that marriage. The oldest is Craig, who is now starting his second year of medical residency at the University of Pennsylvania Hospital, and who is married to a physician, a classmate, who is in her second year of residency in family practice at Jefferson Hospital. Craig is a very quiet, very studious young man who graduated first in his class in medical school, which we would have expected, of course. Neither his father nor I had any influence on his choosing medicine, except a subtle one. We both have an excellent relationship with him. Even though he's a studious student, he's an athlete. He is a champion swimmer and represented the United States in the meets in Israel. What are they called?
Maccabee.
Yes, he swam breaststroke for the United States in the Maccabee Games. He was a kind of something called a walk-on, meaning he was swimmer. He went to Harvard, undergraduate, and he tried out for the swim team as a freshman, and he was accepted because of his ability. He's a superb student, of course. My second grandson is a graduate of University of Pennsylvania School of Engineering, and he's He is starting his MBA this fall at Babson. The MBA programs do not take students unless they've been out in business for a while. And so during his senior year at, I don't know if you want all of these.
Sure,
you
do indeed, yes. No, this is lovely.
Yeah, during his senior year at Penn, in the School of Systems Engineering, it was necessary to develop a project and write about the project, so he developed a business as a project, which was food purveying. He found a group of men, young men, students who were cars, and he arranged for their food delivery to homes, what do they call it? Pick up dinners.
Catering payment service.
Dinners. And then he continued that. He did this all during his last year and wrote up as his senior project, and then continued that. And then he purchased or developed two restaurants in shopping centers, one on the campus and the other one somewhere else. And now he has been able to sell one, and now he's in the process of trying to sell the second so he can start his MBA program in Boston. Brian, his MBA program in Boston in the fall. He too is a high school swim star. And my younger grandson is Tufts. He's finished his first year. His name is Eric. He's starting in starting his second year at Tufts. He's in engineering, but his interest is environmental engineering and in marine biology. So, but apparently, from what they have to. This is all in the School of Engineering. He too's an athlete, and they're all, it's interesting, all wonderful students, but all very broad-shouldered, athletic boys. And their specialties, all of them are swimming. They've all been on the swim teams. I think that takes care of the grandsons, does it?
Yes.
And
Donna's children.
And Donna's children. Also Donna. Anything you want to know about Donna and Stanley?
No, I think
that covers that.
They good background, yes.
Roberta has been a dancer. She started dancing in kindergarten. She left Taylor Alderdice in her after the second year to go to the North Carolina School of the Arts, which had just been opened in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, as a dance major, and she was in the first class. She did ballet and modern dance. She was one of the very few Jewish students, and she has a lot of interesting stories about what it's like to be a Jewish student in North Carolina. But following that, she went to University of in Indiana, University of
in Bloomington,
in the School of Music as a dance major. But she finished her last year at Pitt in education, so that she would have that. And then she went to Columbia, where she got a a master's degree in dance education. So she performed a great deal in modern dance companies and in touring companies, and she danced with an opera company. She still teaches adults in New York at LaGuardia Junior College. She married about 12 years ago and divorced a year ago. There is an adopted 7-year-old daughter who will be 7 this coming July 7th. Neither of them were able to conceive. I'm not certain whether the fault was the male or the female, nevertheless, there was no conception. She put an ad in several of the southern newspapers, Texas and Oklahoma, to adopt, and a unmarried woman answered the ad. So she went to interview the unmarried pregnant woman, who was attractive and had had 1 year of college, so she was reasonably intelligent. Robbie went to Texas at the delivery and took the little baby out of the hospital after 3 days. And she's growing up to, and she's growing up to be a very devout Jew. She was placed in the mikveh. You know what that is?
Yeah, of course.
I was there, dipped her in water. And she attends a very strict religious grade school. She's finishing her first year of grade school, but she's been going, this is her third year of school, this preschool and kindergarten, and she speaks Hebrew, not fluently, not a lot of it, but she is speaking Hebrew and reading Hebrew, as well as being trained in English subjects too.
What is her name?
Her name is Ariel, A-R-I-E-L-L-E. Now, Robbie had married a modern Orthodox, so she herself became kosher, is it? Kosher. She keeps her home kosher. Two sets of dishes and Passover dishes and so on. Just as an aside, this is important or not, we have an apartment in Florida and we went there over Passover. So Gertrude and I had to go 2 or 3 days early to clean the oven, to clean the dishwasher, to wash down several areas of the shelves, to buy sets of dishes, new dishes for Passover, and to go shopping for Passover. So we kept kosher. We kept Passover.
You're talking
what's
to
it called?
People who do that every year.
What's it called? Pesedik.
Pesedik.
Pesedik. This year in Florida. She's been exceedingly, she was a Wexner fellow. Are you acquainted with that?
Wexner?
Wexner. W-E-C-H-S-N-E-R, Wexner. Wexner's the man who started the Limited, the stores, the Limited, and there are a dozen different stores, the Gap and so on. He owns those. And he became aware of the fact that there was not enough young Jewish leaders in the country. So he established a fellowship called the Wexner Fellowship, in which young people are recommended. They do not apply, but they must be recommended by the United Jewish Federation as fellows. And for a period of 2 years, and this occurs in several cities. It was carried out in Pittsburgh 1 year. The recommendees are enrolled in a fellowship program in which they are given lectures two nights a week with study material, and for a period of 2 years, lectures by outstanding educators and rabbis, and they are treated famously. These night sessions are accompanied by dinner, and they're taken on tours. She was taken by Wexner and a group to Israel to study there twice, and to other areas, and they meet. And then there's a post-Wexner program. After 2 years, they're permitted to continue this for a small stipend, which they pay. So she did continue it for a period of 2 or 3 years. She's been very active in the Jewish community in New York City, in the United Jewish Federation and others, and she is now applying for some full-time position in a Jewish agency. She's had interviews, don't know yet what job she'll get. She's, of course, now divorced and lives in an apartment in New York City with her dog. Anything else you'd like to know about the children?
Well, there are 10 questions here. One of the routine questions here is, do you see a difference in the way you were raised, the way you raised your children, and the way your children had raised their children?
Yes, a difference. I was raised much more limited, I believe, by virtue of my parents' background and the small town which I was born and raised in. My parents were not as worldly as possibly we are. So our children were given much more exposure to the non-Jewish world and to social and academic experiences, and to travel, which I did not have.
It certainly is.
And I believe that's not uncommon.
Yes.
For our generation.
As you look back over your career, Paul, what do you view as your major accomplishments?
Well, firstly, let me say that I'm a kind of Walter Mitty, I think, of what I'd like to be. And I don't know whether you want to go in. But there's a couple of things in life that I would have preferred. I would have preferred to have gotten a PhD in history before going to medical school. I still have I read history. I have an interest in psychiatry, whether I would have been a psychiatrist, I don't know, but I had contemplated it for a while. And possibly I might have pursued that. I don't know if that answers your question or not. No.
It does show that you had aspirations, but think back of your accomplishments.
Well, I haven't. Gertrude believes I'm too modest. There are a couple things in my that I can remember with a great deal of fondness, whether this, whether you want to include this or not. I read a book by a man named Terence DeFries. The name of the book was The Survivor. Terence DeFries was a student at Colgate and for his PhD degree he became interested in what caused the why did certain people survive in concentration camps. And he became so involved in this, this became, it consumed him. His PhD treatise turned out to be a book which I have, and I'd be glad to show you, called The Survivor. This made such an impact on him that he could not live with himself. He became an alcoholic and committed suicide. Mm. But about 1956 or so, in those years, 52, 53, 54, 5, 6, Germany was paying stipends to the survivors of concentration camps in the world, including the United States. I can't remember what it was called then, but it was some compensation. And they were paying compensation particularly for those who had any disabilities. And I was appointed an examiner of the survivors to establish their disability and to send a report to the German government. And this went on for several years. There was a conference being that was developed at East Liberty. It was a church, a seminary in East Liberty.
Pardon me?
Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, thank you, on the Holocaust. And I was given the responsibility to discuss and discuss the area of the medical problems of the Holocaust victims. So I thought that the ideal speaker was Terence DeFries, and I called him and brought him to Pittsburgh. And we became friends after that until his suicide. He was a close friend of John Irving, the novelist. So that is one of the highlights of my life.
Yes. What did you find in working with survivors? Did it have to be a physical disability?
No, these were emotional disabilities. But there's something about the survivor, and that's a whole day in itself.
All right.
So it has nothing to do with me.
All right. Take a look at Pittsburgh. What, over the years, how would you contrast the Pittsburgh that was with the way it is now, as a Jewish community, culturally, socially, and so forth?
Well, I'm not sure what I'm going to say is hardly unique, and I'm sure that anybody that's lived 50 years in Pittsburgh can repeat my account, first physically, the city has changed, obviously. And I don't need to remember Pittsburgh when it was a smoke-filled industrial city. Now it's become a scientific and educational center. How has it changed? That's the physical change and the cultural change as well. The second part of your question was, how has the Jewish community changed?
Yes.
I think, a more vibrant United Jewish Federation and a more vibrant Jewish community center now than there was some many years ago. I think that there is less religiosity now. I do see there's a nucleus of Orthodox Jews, of course. But this is not unique to Pittsburgh. It's unique to the Jewish community in all of the United States and probably the world. The rate of intermarriage, is something like 50% of those. How many of the offspring? What percentage of the spouse is converting? And that's a small percentage. What is it? 20%?
Small percentage.
And what percentage of the offspring are being raised as Jews? And that's small, less than 50%. What I see is not unique. This has been written about in journals and books and newspaper articles, and that's the disappearing Jewish community, except for the hardcore Orthodoxy. It's of interest that one of my associates, when he joined me, was a conservative Jew. And after 2 to 3 years, he became Orthodox. He put on a skull cap. He grew a beard. He's moving to Israel. He and his family are emigrating to Israel this July. His last day at work, in fact, is June 15th. Why? He said he can't live in the United States as an Orthodox Jew. He doesn't feel comfortable except in a Jewish environment.
That is interesting.
Pardon me?
That is interesting.
Yeah. So we have replaced him with another Orthodox Jew, Jewish physician, who wears a skull cap and has a beard and doesn't work Saturdays and doesn't work Friday afternoon. And my two non-Jewish colleagues have had to come to grips with this. They have to work Saturdays. And there are many more Saturdays than there are non-Jewish holidays. So I don't know how they're going to work this out. So I said to him recently, he married an Israeli woman. And he goes to Israel frequently. I said, did you ever think of moving to Israel? He said, yes.
You may repeat the same experience.
So we may repeat it. This is not necessarily.
No, that's interesting, though. It is interesting.
We
may be at the end of the tape. We check. End of tape 2, side 4, to be continued on tape 3.